And I think it's time for us to start our hymn sing. You can be looking, I just love it when our students are ready and prepared. So hymn sing now, and Judith is ready to go.
144.
This is my Father's world, 1 and 3. And another one? How about, yes, 145, morning has broken.
Verses 1 and
3?
Okay.
Another? How about 370? Victory in Jesus. Oh, let's sing verses 1 and 2.
1 and 2, 370, okay.
Repented. his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal a broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
We still have time for another. David? 348. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Do you have a choice of verses?
First and last.
Number 348. First and last. I think that should do us nicely. Thank you for participating. That prepares our hearts for our service today.
Thank you.
thank you very much, Diane. I always appreciate your music. Thank you so much. Good morning, and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's wonderful to see you all here. My name is Susan Wamsley, and it's always a joy to be here with Pastor Phillips. Oh, a special thing today. We'll be celebrating February birthdays, but we'll get to that later. So, first, I want to ask you to all sign in on the red pew pads. Pass it along so everybody can see who is here and who's not here. It looks like there's some people missing today. So, pardon? Well, if you make a notation that so-and-so's not here. Yes, you can do that.
We've got to all go out and grab anybody we can find on the street. Yes. And bring them in.
So, appreciate those sign-ins on the pew pad. And this is the first Sunday of the month, and the first Sunday of the month is our Good Samaritan Sunday. So we have our Good Samaritan plate out at the, I think it's at the entry door on the west side of the church. So consider putting money in for the Good Samaritan Fund. We use that for Good Samaritan issues, and much is used to help support our people in our community who are less fortunate when it comes to being able to pay for their foodstuffs. The newsletter came out. Hopefully you all read that earlier, or in just the past couple of days, I received mine in the email. If you're not receiving it by email and you want to, please let the office know. It's a nice, quick, easy reference to know what's going on in our church. If you forget something, you can always refer back to it. It's handy information. So we appreciate all that Deb does to put that together, and with perhaps Linda's assistance as well. So thank you. Look at your newsletter and see all those fun things in it. This today, we are continuing with The Chosen. That is at 11 a.m. in the Camellia Room, so please come and join in watching The Chosen. They're on season 3 at this time. So, at the Camellia Room, and here we are to birthdays. The Pastillis aren't here, but we'll still say happy birthday to Carol Pastilli. Sharon Kelsey is having a birthday this month as well. So is Mary Miller having a birthday this month. And so is our pastor having a birthday this month. He doesn't think he's getting older, but we all know that's not true. He is getting younger. You can tell.
Would you like to know?
Yes.
That I'm still 29 years old.
You know, I am too. What year were you born? Yeah. Answer that question. If you're going to say that, then you need to quickly respond to what year a 29-year-old was born in. So I would appreciate it if you would join with me in singing happy birthday to these folks who have a birthday this month. And if you have a birthday this month, please stand up so we can recognize you and know that you're still able to get up and around. Okay, let's go. And birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
How old are you now?
I'm 29 and you're
She's 29 years old as well.
It's a good club to belong in. So also what's happening later this week, in addition to the Super Bowl, of which the Seahawks will be playing, and the Seahawks should win. Sorry. Okay, sorry. That had nothing to do with church. Anyway, what is happening later this week is Colors of Heaven presentation to explore the beauty, history of stained glass windows. And Deb was just informing me that Jim Hinden, who is going to share the history, insights, and reflections in his presentation, actually did come to our church and did take pictures of some or many of our own beautiful stained glass windows. So that is going to happen on Saturday, February 7th at 1:30 p.m. in the Mousley Museum, photographer Jim Hendon. And Deb?
I want to point out, too, that this is the Saturday for our movie, even though we don't have a slide in it for it. It's the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Doors open at 10:30, and we hope you all come and get great snacks.
Yes.
And then after the movie, you can go to this presentation.
Right, because you will have had snacks, and your tummies will be full, so you'll be able to enjoy a beautiful presentation at the Mousley Museum. Mousley Museum is just on down Bryant Street at the corner of Panorama and Bryant. So a wonderful facility. We should all feel very fortunate that we have that facility in our community. So, February 7th. On February 11th, that's Wednesday, is Pastor's Lunch at the Legend China 8 in Kalamasa. Sign up for that luncheon. The meal is $15. I think Kathy sometimes watches over the sign-up sheet at her table where she's doing script. Great chance for you to not only buy script, but sign up for the Pastor's Lunch February 11th.
It's the best lunch in town.
Best lunch in town. Well, I made a pretty mean tomato soup the other day, and it was pretty good. All right, but I wasn't open for business. That's true. Okay, if there are no other greetings, if there are no other greetings and announcements, we'll do our call to worship. If you'll all please stand. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples.
But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you.
Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
And now if you'll join in singing our our hymn number 575, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banners fall. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war.
And now before you take your seat, we'll pass the peace. In addition to our sharing our peace with one another, we're going to share our joys and concerns, but I think Pastor wants to talk to those who are visiting us on Zoom. There's a full screen this morning. That's how come people aren't here. They're out seeing us on Zoom.
So
say hey to everybody on Zoom.
Right. You know, we may feel like that we have a little fewer than we expected, but... if you count them all on the Zoom, we are like a half full, which is wonderful. So we love having everybody who comes faithfully to worship with us on every Sunday morning. So welcome to Helen. So glad to see you, Helen. And June with us. And Kenny. George. So glad to see you, and we have Bill and April with us, as usual, and hello to Chris, and also for Carol and Mike, Cheryl, and welcome to the one who has joined us on Samsung phone. Welcome to you all.
And now we'll have sharing of our joys and concerns. If you have a joy to share with us or a concern you want us to pray over, please raise your hand and the mic will be brought to you. Thank you.
I want to remind you to continue to pray for Lorene and pray for Deanna, Colleen's daughter, and Colleen and her trip. And Becky's sister, Dottie, with a broken wrist.
She handed me this mic, but I wasn't going to talk. But I leave on Friday for Alaska, and it looks like it will be snowing all week. So maybe safe travels. Prayers for safe travels.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
Kenny.
Go ahead, Kenny.
I just want to keep in prayers all of the homeless people, and you know, this big freeze that hit the eastern part of the country here, especially hard on homeless people. They found, you might have seen in the news this last week, they found 10 homeless people froze to death in New York City. And of course, there's been a lot of other deaths attributed to it too, but it's especially hard on them, so I'm going to keep all those folks in our prayers.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you. And now, if you will join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world, and you have called us to shine in places shadowed by darkness. You delight in hands extended to the helpless and hearts moved with compassion. You send us to the sorrowful so we may bring the comfort of your love. You entrust us with the story. Oops. Can you wait just one moment?
Chains of bondage. May we be a blessing to every soul
we encounter, so that through us your light may be seen. For your name's sake, amen.
Amen.
Sorry for that screen interruption.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. This is a time that when we can join our hearts in prayer. This is a time when we can open our whole being to the Lord and give him whatever the concern we have. This is the time that we can be most honest with God. So let us continue our prayer. Lord Jesus, sometimes we wonder what is going on in our life because we do not see very clearly what lies ahead. Sometimes we wonder if our life's gonna be okay because we see a lot of troubles, not just in our life personally, but in the world today. Sometimes we wonder whether or not we are able to make it to the end because we see a lot of challenges before us, a lot of challenges still coming on our way, and there are a lot of uncertainties we don't have any answer to. But Lord, once more, we have gathered here in this beautiful place of worship because we know that you are with us, that you watch us, that you hold our hand and guide our step, that you are the very source of courage, strength, encouragement. You have opened the gate of heaven for us so that whenever we reach out to you, you are available with all the resources that we need to sustain our lives. And because of this faith we have in you, we can face any problems, any trouble, any challenges that this life bring unto us. So by faith, O Lord, we claim the victory in you. By faith, O Lord, we know that we have a bright future. So as we worship this morning unto you, to you, O Lord, we pray that you come unto us through your Holy Spirit and open our eyes, touch our heart, that we may feel you and your power right now. We invite you to touch all those place of concern and the people that you have placed in our lives. We ask you to touch them and manifest your power unto them so that they too may have confidence in your presence in their lives. So, Lord, may we restore the joy of living because we know that you are with us and we can go through all the challenges of this life with you, and we know we will be victorious in the end. So thank you, Lord, for the faith we have found in you and for the promise of victory for each and every one of us, including our loved ones, this church, this community, this nation. And we all know that we will see your glory with our own eyes when you return to this earth. So bless us, O Lord, as we worship you this morning. And knowing your perfect and wonderful will that you have for us, we now yield ourselves with all the cares we have into your hand as we pray the prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
And now if you will join in singing number 530, Are Ye Able?
So mind able to remember when a thief lives of his eyes, that his pardoned soul is worthy of a place in paradise. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. High able when the shadows close around you with a sword, to believe their spirit triumphs, you commend your soul to God. Lord, be able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one after lighting a lamp puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I'm so happy to see you all in here worshiping together with us in this beautiful sanctuary, and also all those who have come to join us on Zoom. I pray that we will have special visit from the Lord through His Holy Spirit, who can touch our heart like no one can. A Methodist minister walked into a barber shop in Washington, D.C. During the haircut, he shared heartfelt stories about God's work in his ministry. The barber was so moved, he nearly cried. When the cut was finished, the pastor asked, "How much do I owe you?" The barber said, "Nothing at all. I consider it a service to the Lord." The next morning, the barber found two inspirational books and a handwritten thank you note waiting at the door. Later that day, a police officer came in. He told gripping stories about dangerous cold, midnight chases, and long nights protecting the city. The barber listened with admiration. When he finished, the officer asked, "What do I owe you?" "Nothing," said the barber. "I consider it a service to our community." The next morning, the barber found a huge box of donuts and a thank you note on his doorstep. That afternoon, a senator came in. He talked about his distinguished career, his historic achievement, and how several major world events were influenced by him personally. The barber nodded and said, "Wow, amazing, incredible," for 40 straight minutes. When the haircut was done, the senator asked, "What do I owe you?" "Nothing," said the barber. "I consider it a service to our nation." The next morning, the barber opened his shop and found 20 senators waiting outside for a free haircut. And it happened, it was the day after the government shutdown. It is no surprise that good news travels fast. Why does it? The reason is simple. People do not keep good news to themselves, but share it with others. Those senators did what Christians have done and have shared the good news of Jesus Christ with others for over 2 millennia. However, the world we live in has a cultural sentiment that sharing the faith in God and preaching the gospel should be kept personal. This contradicts how God operates in the world and how the Great Commission and the mission of Christ's churches should be carried out. Most importantly, this cultural sentiment has become a barrier to the churches preparing for the worldwide spiritual awakening before the return of Christ. We may be a bit struggling, but I personally believe, as the scripture says, there will be a worldwide spiritual awakening before the return of Christ. So let's hear the word of God in this regard. The teaching of Jesus in the gospel lesson is clear and easy to understand. We are called to be salt in the world. Salt has been used as a preservative since ancient time. Salt dissolves in water and gives the corrupted world its very flavor and character, preventing it from corruption. Our mission is to be positive influence to preserve God's truth and purify the world. The same importance of this teaching is the risk of losing its saltiness. The Message Bible translations translate this teaching as, "Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage." What makes the church salt of the earth? The scriptural truth. If the church does not preach and teach the Bible, it is like salt losing its saltiness and becoming useless. Then Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." In terms of the church and believers being a good influence on the world, this is the same teaching as when he said, "You are the salt of the earth." How do we influence the world as light? We've got to shine the light of Christ into the world so people can see. Consider how God manifested himself through Jesus. It is commonly understood that God is invisible and his work is mysterious. Philip, one of the disciples, thought so too. So he asked Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father." Jesus said to him, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And in John 10, Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." God came into the world in flesh through Jesus and dwelt on earth. No one denies the historicity of Jesus unless he's a fool. God showed himself in the incarnation, in the birth of Jesus, which was international news. Jesus began his public ministry by being baptized by John in Jordan River. He was one of many baptized by John. During his public life, Jesus spoke to and taught people. He performed miracles as many people watched, sometimes tens of thousands. Jesus touched and healed many sick people. When he was tried before a Roman governor, so many people attended his trial that even threatened the governor to secure a favorable verdict. When he died, the Roman lifted him up high to make it more shameful and a public mockery. He rose again and showed himself to his followers. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. He ascended into heaven as the 11 disciples watched him. And the revelation said that he will come back to the earth in such a fashion that everyone who has been dead or is alive will see him. How can God be more public than all the manifestation he made through Jesus? The Great Commission aligns with how Jesus operates. Jesus commanded his followers to go all the nations and make him known to the entire world. Samuel questions Jesus' teaching about doing things in secret. In Matthew 6, Jesus outlined three Christian practices to be done in secret. The first is giving to the needy. Jesus said, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street to be honored by others. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." The second one is prayer, for which Jesus said, "When you pray, do not be like hypocrites. When you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." The third concerns fasting. "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Why did Jesus teach these to do this in secret when his ministry was done publicly and he gave the Great Commission to do it so openly that the gospel may be preached to the end of the earth? The reason is found in the following, in Jesus' teaching, that he repeatedly warned against following the example of a hypocrite who seeks personal gain and people's respect. You know, whenever he taught about the prayer, fasting, giving alms to the needy, he mentioned about being a hypocrite and to be aware, right? As long as people avoid hypocrisy, these practices were more important, were very important in the early church and were done publicly. I'm going to give you some examples. Members of the Jerusalem church sold their possessions and openly shared resources. There's no secret about that because they did it openly. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul openly collected offering to help the Jerusalem church. The Gospels record many instances of Jesus praying, showing that Jesus prayed publicly and audibly. In Acts 13, the church in Antioch fasted before sending Barnabas and Paul on their mission. Fasting has been a long-standing tradition since the Old Testament times. Everyone in Israel fasted on the Day of Atonement, and Jewish people still do that on the Day of Atonement. That is a Yom Kippur. They do it today, even. Queen Esther asked every Jew in Persia to fast and pray for 3 days as she prepared to appear before King Ahasuerus, that is a King Xerxes, without being sermoned. And that way she saved all the Jews from ethnic cleansing in Persia. So all these practices were done openly and publicly. And when Jesus taught them to do those practices in secret, because of the hypocrisy. Beyond avoiding hypocrisy in these practices, the Bible does not teach churches to keep faith and mission secret. The very nature of Jesus is light. So is the nature of the church. We are called to let the light of Jesus shine before others so they may see it. The following Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, featuring the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. Do any of you football fans recall the 3-16 game? How many of you have that 3-16 game? I mean, I heard about it some time ago, and then I found this article on Wikipedia, and I'm going to share that with you. Tim Tebow considers himself to be a devout Christian. Tebow played in the January 8, 2009 BCS National Championship game and inscribed the biblical citation John 3:16 on his eye black. You know that football players that draw the eye blacks under the eyes? And he wrote John 3:16 in there. The reference to John 16 was said to have caused 94 million people to look up its meaning on the Google search engine from that game and then a day afterwards. And then, guess what NCAA did? They banned writing on the eye black in April 2010. But see what happened? Exactly 3 years to the day after that championship game, National Football League playoff game between the Denver Broncos and the Pittsburgh Steelers was held on January 8, 2012. Exactly 3 years ago. The same day, January 8th. Tebow played in the game as a quarterback for the Broncos. The game finished with 5 statistics that each contain 3 digits in the order 3-1-6. During the game, Tebow accumulated 316 passing yards with an average of 31.6 yards for completion. The Steelers finished the game with a time of possession of 31 minutes and 6 seconds. The game's rating peaked between 8 and 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time with a rating of 31.6. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger threw a second quarter interception on 3rd and 16. I mean, this is a true recording of the game. You can look it up. Even though Tebow could not write John 3:16 on his eye black, John 3:16 walked like a light that could not be turned off. Think about how many lives Tebow has touched with a simple message on his eye black. Out of 94 million, some would have found a new relationship with Christ, while others would have received a strong nudge to return to God. Sharing the message of salvation is the most noble and beautiful thing. Paul in Romans 10 said, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Sadly, preaching the gospel is becoming increasingly difficult for various reasons. The primary reason may be a cultural shift. We live in a highly individualistic society with religious diversity. Sharing the faith in Jesus is downplayed or discouraged. Many believers grow passive or even ashamed of sharing it publicly. You know, in right around our neighborhood, there is a guy who stands in a street corner with a Bible on his hand, and sometimes with different symbols, clock or you know, all different kinds of symbols. He wanna give peace people the message, the gospel message, and there have been some discussions among our family members: should we do it in the street corner? You know, would people listen to him? Would be open to his message? And you know, my position is that I always admire his attitude. He's so courageous and did not feel ashamed of doing it publicly. Many believers grow passive or even ashamed of sharing it publicly. I personally think these factors have contributed to the decline of Christianity in nations, including the U.S., that were once predominantly Christian. It is as if churches are voluntarily becoming underground churches and believers are becoming underground churchgoers for no reason. Being persuaded by this cultural sentiment is just like putting a lamp under a bowl. The timeline for the Great Commission is the end of the age. The Bible says there will be a worldwide revival before the return of Christ. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Our mission is to shine the light of Christ in the world of darkness until the end of the age. Amen. Let us now turn to page 13 of our hymnal and prepare ourselves to come to the table of God's mercy. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, pour out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we partake in this broken piece of bread, let us remember the body, the very body of Christ Jesus, was broken for our salvation. As we drink, each of us, from this cup that Jesus prepared for us, let us remember he bled and died for the forgiveness of our sins. So with thanksgiving and gratitude, let's take the body and drink from his blood. Because of what you did in Calvary for us, O Lord, we are saved. We are forgiven. And may we remember your great act of redemption as long as we live on this earth. And may our life be transformed into the life of thanksgiving, because you love us that much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tithes and offerings, and there is the offering plate in the narthex, and you can still, if you're not able today, you can mail them into the office, and thank you for your support of our church. And we have singers today, Austin and Bruce, singing Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Thank you.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, Precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows dear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me home. Darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing your voices with us.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of the eve. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus, you came down to this humble earth and gave all for our salvation. And because of what you did, we owe everything to you. All we have and even our life. So standing before your cross, O Lord, we acknowledge we are yours. Receive praises and thanksgiving from our hearts and from our lives, and be blessed. We ask you to receive this token of our thankfulness to you and bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we've a story to tell to the nations is our next song, and that is number 569, verses 1 through 3.
The story to tell to the nation, that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For all the darkness to turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's grace kingdom shall come on earth. The kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword.
leave a message to give to the nations that the Lord who reigneth above has sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to Monday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Let us pray. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be mindful of the great commission that you gave to each and every of your followers, including us. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that we are the light of the world because we carry in our humble vessel the precious message that can save life, that can turn darkness into light. So, Lord, empower us that we may become your disciples who can boldly proclaim the message of salvation whenever we have a chance. So as we commit ourselves to be your disciples in the world, we ask your empowerment and blessing upon each and every one of us, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love, and so you believe. Reach out to others, so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen. Amen.